Welcome to Learn to Live Stress-Free. This is Christine Wright with Dr. Robert Wright Jr., your go-to wellness coaches of www.stressfreenow.info.
Today, we will be speaking with Judith Pennington, who is an author, teacher, and world authority on brainwave biofeedback meditation, a scientific and spiritual discipline that is gaining attention and popularity worldwide. Judith is the author of The Voice of the Soul, a groundbreaking book about inspired writing and the science of spirituality. Judith's latest book is entitled Your Psychic Soul, Embracing Your Sixth Sense, which takes the reader on a still deeper journey into the world of intuition and the superconscious mind of enlightenment. Published by Edgar Cayce's Fourth Dimension Press in December 2012, Your Psychic Soul is a scientific and spiritual exploration of meditation, the brainwaves of consciousness, psi experiences, dreaming, inspired writing, hands-on healing, and the global shift in consciousness that is now underway. Judith regularly travels and teaches internationally for an organization she founded, the Institute for the Awakened Mind, and in the U.S., for Edgar Cayce's ARE, located in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She also writes two free online publications, The Still Small Voice and One World Spirit, which can be accessed from her primary website, eaglelife.com. Welcome, Judith. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to have you as our featured guest today. We are so happy you could be with us.
Well, thank you so very much, Bob. I really appreciate your inviting me.
Thank you so much, Judith. Welcome, and hello, everyone. You're in for a treat listening to Judith. Judith, you're an authority in the field of biofeedback and neurofeedback. Since these fields may be unfamiliar to some, would you explain what biofeedback and neurofeedback are, and can you tell our audience how you came to be involved with them?
Sure. Well, you know, most people are familiar with biofeedback. It really became popular in the late 1950s when a guy named Joe Camilla, clinical psychologist, was working with an EEG device and found that he could teach someone, and someone could very easily learn, how to produce alpha waves. And so biofeedback is essentially a scientific way of helping you recognize a state of either body or mind consciousness or both so you can self-regulate them. So an example of biofeedback was you look in a mirror and then you adjust your appearance. You stand on a scale, you know what your weight is, you adjust your weight. Biofeedback would be the kind we're talking about would be some kind of device, a galvanic skin response meter that monitors your level of physical arousal or relaxation through the sweat gland activity in your hands or fingers. Blood volume pulse would be measuring your heart rate and your heart rate variability. So we have these kind of meters in the work that I do that are integrated with the main thing that we work with, and that is an electroencephalograph called the mind mirror. And what that is a completely unique brainwave biofeedback device that allows you to watch people's brainwaves, not just in the raw trace kind of window that's used by neurofeedback people, where they'll look at beta as a rising or falling line, alpha, theta, delta as separate windows as rising and falling lines. But our composite picture, invented in 1974 by a biophysicist, shows both sides of the brain and the frequency activity inside of those four categories and the interrelationships of those four categories, so that when we see the picture, we can see whether they are internally or externally focused, whether they're having a difficult time or whether they are in an enlightenment state of consciousness. The patterns we see on the mind mirror reflect the person's inner experience. And so we can give them we ask them when they're in an optimal meditation or an awakened mind, creative flow and peak performance, or an involved mind, bliss and illumination pattern, to find a landmark. And so they might say, as one woman did in a community college meditation class, we were doing a meditation, everybody had their eyes closed, and I said, and so find a landmark for your awakened mind. And afterwards she said, well, mine was a red cardinal. She was the only person hooked up for this demonstration. And I said, and I thought, boy, this is taking a chance. Let me test the theory anyway. And I said, okay, well, close your eyes, if you will. The whole class, 17 people, were looking on. And I said, so reimagine that red cardinal exactly as you experienced it in your mind. And she produced this gorgeous awakened mind pattern, which essentially looks like a human being with arms outstretched. And that's essentially how it works. From now on, when she, no matter how fragmented or fractured or busy or distracted she becomes, she can sit down and bring that red cardinal experience, really, literally relive it with her senses back into her mind, and her brain waves will reconfigure themselves to her original state of consciousness. Because the brain doesn't know the difference between a real and an imagined event. So when you reimagine the event, you reconfigure your brainwaves. Your brainwaves condition themselves over a period of time, and then you begin to live in that higher state of consciousness. Meditation, the awakened mind, or the evolved mind. Those are three of the five that we're aware of and work with. Long answer to a short question, but hopefully a thorough answer.
A very thorough, wonderful answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, Judith. What I want to mention is that the first time that I became aware of the mind mirror was a while back. Michael Hutchison wrote a book called Mega Brain.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, you admit, a while ago, now that we're thinking about it. And I was thinking about his updated version was in 1994, so that's how I know how long ago it was, the mm-hmm. original version. So what I want to ask you here is two things. One, can you just lay out briefly what the benefits are to individuals from using the mind mirror besides, or I should say, especially as they impact on stress, anxiety, and pain reduction? And then also, can you just cover, I know that, you know, since I brought up Michael Hutchison's name, that would have been the original mind mirror that was created, and I believe you're up to mind mirror 6 now, version 6, I believe, from looking at your website.
That's right.
Could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So essentially, whether you have electrodes on or not, close your eyes. That generates alpha waves, which reduce, your beta waves of external thought. And those can range in speed from random thinking, which would be a low beta, all the way to a high amplitude, high frequency beta in stress, anxiety, and panic. So when you close your eyes, you reduce the beta. Your external awareness moves inward into your sensory alpha, and then from there you can drop into your subconscious theta and your unconscious delta. And when you do that, when you deepen into the awareness of your subconscious mind, what happens is that your thinking mind quiets, your emotions calm, you have access to that wellspring of creativity, insight, intuition, and wisdom in your subconscious, and to the psychic awareness of and empathy in your unconscious mind. And so there comes an open flow of consciousness wherein you have access to all of these qualities of mind simultaneously. That's an orchestration of brain waves that form a specific pattern in meditation. And if you activate your beta just a little bit to problem solve or even expand your spirit, send healing out to someone else, then you have the awakened mind. If you release all self-separation and self-awareness, that then forms the circular evolved mind pattern where all distinctions between subject and object disappear, and there's nothing but a unity consciousness. And what happens when you access any of these patterns, and I mean any of them, is that a number of things happen in the brain and body. The first one is that the two hemispheres, the intellectual left and the emotional spiritual right hemispheres, become coordinated so that thought flows more coherently between the two. They synchronize. When that happens, then the brain is able to more closely coordinate with the spine so that the central nervous system then is synchronized. And then the central nervous system can coordinate with the peripheral nervous system so that the entire electrical system of the body is now coherent and synchronized, which means that more energy flows to every cell. Then the body has the resources to be able to better heal and restore itself. That alone is huge. But that this happens simultaneously with the brain awakening to the levels of its own mind and consciousness then means that you have the ability to solve any mental, emotional, or spiritual challenge in your life at the same time. So what you're really doing in meditation and awakened mind training is increasing manifold, exponentially, the power and potential of your body, mind, emotions, and spirit. It's quite huge, really.
Well, Judith, that is such a powerful answer, and it took me to two questions, which one obvious and then one not so obvious. The first question would be the reticular activating system. When you were talking, what I was wondering about when you were talking about the what I would refer to as whole brain synchrony or whole brain synchronization state, where left and right and the various parts are cooperating or where there's resonance in the brain. I was wondering, based on your experience, what is the actual attentional state, or could you comment on that? And so that's the first question. And then the second question, which is, and I don't know if you have the answer to this question, is because this is an open question in my mind, when a person is experiencing anxiety and or having a panic attack, in your clinical experience, do you happen to know what the brainwave frequency might be? Because I have not seen that in the literature anywhere. So that would be amazing if you happen to know the answer to that.
Yeah, I do. And so,
see, you're amazing.
Well, actually, it's pretty well known, and we can see it on the screen. In one of these community college meditation classes, I explained this map of consciousness and how it works. And I had this woman hooked up, and her beta brainwaves in the higher frequencies were out to about maybe 40 or 50 microvolts in amplitude and width and strength. And the rest of her pattern was operating at about 3 to 5 microvolts. And the class just sat there and watched this woman's brainwaves with their eyes closed, and they were jabbing each other and going, wow, very quietly, because an highly extended beta that's operating in those super high frequencies, which are 30 to maybe 38, what we see 30 to 44 on the classic mind mirror, that's talking stress, anxiety, and panic. And so I had her just simply relax the back of her tongue, which the tongue stresses and arouses and tenses up when people are aroused in the mind and aroused in the body. Just by relaxing her tongue, she dropped that beta down to the 3 to 5 microvolts of the rest of the pattern. And upon opening her eyes, she said, all the inner dialogue went away, the mind chatter. She said, I feel so relaxed. All she had to do was relax her tongue and slow her breathing. So, yeah, we see it on the mind mirror. I mean, it's so easy to, the poor brain suffers so much from the stuff we have stored in the subconscious and the stuff that the ego is forever fixating and obsessing on, all of our little fears and worries and anxieties. And the brain is so happy to have somebody have a technique to give it a little rest, give it a little vacation, and then it just optimizes, because the brain knows how to optimize. If we just remove the static and the pressure, then it's very ready to do so and give the body a break while it's at it.
That is very clear. And Judith, I look forward to, if you happen to have references on studies where it's actually shown the brainwave patterns for panic attacks and anxiety, the exact frequency, I'd love to get those from you. And this, just one other question here, since you have such great expertise in the, with this neurofeedback, one of the things that when I read just regular studies on the, you know, how states of compassion are achieved when they are measuring it from starting at 40 hertz, I noticed that you indicated that a person experiencing anxiety could be in up to 44 hertz. So can you, since the people experiencing compassion starts at 40 hertz, so can you tell me how that is actually distinguished with your equipment or and or regular neurofeedback equipment?
You know, that's a great question, and you've gotten with that question into some kind of cutting edge thoughts and ideas. So it's an odd thing about the mind is that if you're in high beta, and it's truly high beta of stress, anxiety, and panic, you absolutely feel it. But sometimes we're looking at the mind mirror and it looks like high beta. And now with this new mind mirror, this Volistis Mind Mirror 6 that we have, we can look at 44 hertz to 64 hertz, which is very much in the gamma range. And sometimes you'll see that they've got activity in the gamma range. And then you'll know once they cross over and have activity in those upper bands that chances are they're experiencing peace and transcendence, compassion,
right,
and whole
right,
brain synchrony and universal love and absolute understanding, all of that. But you don't actually know for sure until you bring them out of the meditation and say, how was your experience? And they tell you, because it could be either.
Thank you for that, because I think that that is a very good example that we have to remember that whatever representations that we're seeing on the equipment, that it's just an artifact. And so this is where the qualitative aspect of experience becomes important, where you ask the person, so what was your experience? You know,
absolutely.
It sounds very simple, but two things can look the same and appear to be similar, but they're not the same thing. And so thank you. You've been very, very clear and helpful on that. Judith, I just want to briefly ask you about your mentor, Anna Wise, if you could speak about the affection that you had for her and how she changed your life.
Oh, my gosh.
How you're carrying on her work.
Right. I don't know if I've ever loved anyone so much as I did Anna. I think Anna and I must have had some past lives together, because there was such a rise of Kundalini and excitement when I came across her work, to which I was directly led after I finished writing my first book, The Voice of the Soul. I heard myself say, I'm not publishing this book unless there's some scientific, I would need three objective scientific proofs. And so I began to hear, go to the ARE bookstore, look for Common Boundary magazine, and you'll find your proofs. And this had happened to me before, where I was directly led to a source of information, as it does a lot of people. In fact, it's got a name, bibliomancy. And so I did, and sure enough, on the cover of that magazine was the brainwaves of consciousness, which explained and gave me some scientific evidence for everything I'd written in that book, and set me on a journey where, with that language, that science-based language, I could understand my experience better. And so eventually I went to Esalen and took a course with Anna. And we just loved each other at first sight. And I got permission from her to excerpt from her book, The High Performance Mind, and some pages that I was using as handouts. And every time I talked to her, she'd say, well, come and study with me. And I'd say, I can't, $18,000, I can't afford it, and I'm promoting my book and I'm teaching these classes. And finally I got a meditative writing message that said, go now. And that was very unusual, because I never had had a go now directive before, but that's what it said. And so I said, okay, well, I'll just go try one of her classes. And there she said, no, you can't do just one, you have to do them all. And so I spent the night in San Rafael, California, struggling with my meditative writing, saying, I can't afford this, I've got too much going on, take the course. I mean, it wasn't, you know, quite that of a bald-faced instruction, but it said, there are things you don't know now, and we'll discover that relate to your life's destiny, your destiny of your soul. And I adored the work, and I adored Anna, and I ended up taking the whole course, and the money just fell out of the sky. Of course, I didn't have to do anything to get a penny of it. And every time I would get ready to go to San Rafael for the 6 1-week training seminars, I would get so excited that it was all I could do to, you know, control myself in the class. And I always had that experience around Anna. I think there was a transmission of energy and light from her that everyone felt. And it would either arouse the worst in you or the best in you. And it aroused the best in me, and I ended up spending 4 years, 4 times a year, going out and assisting her in her trainings in Esalen, California, just above Big Sur, this big human growth development center. And I watched people change their consciousness over the course of a weekend or a 5-day seminar. And then I watched them in my work and realized that the reason I'd been guided there at that particular point was because Anna had multiple sclerosis and she was going down health-wise faster and faster. And this nervous system disorder actually took her life in 2010. And so I didn't want the work to die, and started working with EEG manufacturer Thought Technology and then another manufacturer of Volistus to keep the mind mirror alive, and so and to, you know, advance the technology. And then I had an experience in meditation and said, where do you want me to go next, Anna? And I had a series of visions, and clearly was being guided to do group brainwave trainings in New York City. And so from that, I ended up eventually getting the practitioner list of certified practitioners from Anna's husband, Jim McRitchie, who had to mine 6,000 emails to get it, and so formed the awakenedmind.org website and formed this Institute for the Awakened Mind that is an international consortium of awakened mind trainers. And so I tell you, people, this may sound a little weird, but Anna is very active on the other side, and she is absolutely, to the people who can either see or hear or sense her, sending messages. And she sends people here to train, to resolve issues. And here's, to take you back to your previous question, if we've got another couple of minutes, one was a French-Canadian channeler, very famous woman who travels the world, name of Guylaine Salafranc. And she had this dream where Anna showed up and said, Judith Pennington can help you. And Guylaine woke up and said, who is Judith Pennington? And found me online and immediately, trusting her own guidance, came here. And we worked with her gamma waves. She is operating in those very high frequencies of gamma, which cause kundalini arousal. And even though she's experiencing, Bob, peace and infinite awareness, she's also aroused on the galvanic skin response meter because her kundalini is moving and it's speeding up her heartbeat and speeding up her sweat gland activity, which she's experiencing as a fluttering, you know, illumination experience. But this is this case where you can't tell the difference, except that the deeper Guylaine goes into her theta waves, the more coherent her high amplitude gamma waves become, and the more synchronous her whole brainwave pattern and her brain becomes, and the less deleterious effects she experiences from that high gamma. Like, she can't be in a room where there's a lot of electrical lighting or sit at computers because this gamma affects people in that way. So that's why Anna sent her to me. And then Anna also appeared to a channel in Germany who told Andrea Groh that she would be the one to would be my designated successor in this work, because, you know, I'm 66. If I drop dead at any moment, somebody's got to pick up this whole gigantic ball and run with it. And so Andrea, on the way back from the airport, said that this channel had been told by Anna Wise that she would be the next one. And so Andrea told me, and I said, I know. I've been thinking about it for weeks now. I don't know if Anna planted that or if it was just a logical conclusion, because this woman is so competent and brilliant. But the next morning I woke up and I was meditating in the bathtub and I said, you know, Anna, I appreciate that you're really busy from the other side, but you didn't have to tell Andrea before I told her. I needed to check out her brainwaves and her experiences, and I don't think that was right. And besides that, if you really want to help with something, how about arranging a website builder, somebody who will take care of this huge project that I don't have the visual ability to take care of? And so I closed my meditation and I said, and please get on it, the sooner the better. This has got to be sorted out. So I got out of the bathtub, got dressed, and walked downstairs. And Andrea said, Judith, how about I design your website for you? And I went, well, Anna, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you already had that fixed up. And so that's what Andrea did. So Anna is alive and kicking. This woman was the most brilliant human being I've ever come across in my life. She was a guru with this incredible ability to look into your awareness and perceive how to help you recognize your own brilliance and get you to the point where you drew upon it and magnified it and blossomed. And not many people have that ability. And I was heartbroken when she passed away. But luckily, she's still around, so that helps a whole lot.
Very definitely. I'm so glad that you are continuing your relationship with Anna and your work, and that the both of you have this wonderful chain of succession, you know, and communication going. Now, Judith, you have really have a sort of wonderful blend and thread in your life of development, of getting and paying attention to messages from within through your work with biofeedback and the incorporation of the meditation. And you've put this together so well with your website, Eagle Life. And I love the title of your publication. It really speaks to what you're bringing forth in the world, to listen to the still, small voice. and One World Spirit. I really want to acknowledge it. It's such a wonderful thing. I appreciate your sharing this. Now, you're obviously living this, and you're spreading this message. How is this flourishing? What feedback have you been getting from your publication?
You know, it's life-changing because people often feel as if they're wearing a mask, and if anybody knew who they really are, they wouldn't love them or want them. And almost everybody I've ever met or known has got this concept of how small they are because of feedback they've gotten from either a parent or a priest or a politician that says, you can't and you aren't. But when people connect with this ocean of wisdom and love within them, they understand that there's so much more than they ever dreamed or imagined that they could be. And when they tap into that wellspring, that river, that ocean, then all of that potential starts rushing like a river into the conscious mind so that they become who they are in their subconscious and unconscious. And you know, it's like watching a flower blossom from a bud into a stunningly beautiful and radiantly colored manifestation of the glory of creation. It's like going from night into day. And so people may not get all of that from the newsletter, but they certainly will understand that that this is possible. Where that happens is that if they follow or try out the meditation techniques, and not just meditation techniques. I mean, there are things in that newsletter that give you psycho-spiritual questions and tools that you can use wide awake, and you start to tap into that. It's tapping into it that really makes the shift and change. All the still small voices really is a pointer. And then I do publish some of my meditative writings. When I still get into binds and can't see my way out, it's part of this ever spiraling upward series of complexities and challenges that mark the meaning of conscious evolution. And whenever I run into something that I don't see immediately the solution to, I'll do a meditative writing still. And so I publish some of those on the Still Small Voice, and I get a lot of feedback from those going, people say, this is exactly the issue I was grappling with at this moment. Thank you. I knew there had to be an answer, you know. So it's helpful in those kinds of ways, but really bringing in that stream of awareness, that's really just about sitting down and closing your eyes, relaxing the back of your tongue and slowing your breath and opening up to what's already there. And the minute you open up, amazing things happen, and you realize how unkind you've been to yourself, and you start listening to your self-talk and say, gosh, why am I so mean to myself? Because, of course, if you're mean to yourself, you're projecting that outward and being mean to other people. And so there's this wonderful evolutionary path that happens through self-reflective awareness. And suddenly, one day, you wake up and say, wow, I'm the same person, but I'm so much better and happier and more peaceful. And goodness gracious, where did all that money come from? Yeah, so all that's from the Still Small Voice.
That's extraordinary. That's truly wonderful, Judith. And I think, as you've mentioned in the conversation, you know, giving your brain a break and connecting to spirit, that there's just really a wealth of support and information and change to be had. I want to thank you so much for the interview, Judith. And I'd like you to tell our listeners if you have any upcoming events that you have that they may want to contact you about or to get involved with. So I just invite you to let our listeners know some of the things that you offer.
Sure. Well, the main thing that's coming up is a biofeedback meditation, a new gateway to an ancient path. every other thing I'm going to do, you know, I just let the universe guide me.
Wonderful.
And things just come up on their own. So if people will just check the eaglelife.com website, I try to keep main events listed on there, or yourpsychicsoul.com. That one is easier for me to make calendar changes on because I don't have to know HTML code. Any of those. But if people want to just send me an email, if they're interested in a private session when I can have time, or a group brainwave training, I'm kind of getting in the mood. I've got a lot of requests for those, and I'm kind of getting in the mood to do several of those in a row just as a break from the practitioner trainings. Or just to say hello, you know. If you read my Psychic Soul book or The Voice of the Soul and want to say hello, I can be reached at judith@awakenedmind.org, and who knows what will happen. I just leave it all up to source.
Great. Thank you so much, Judith. So, listeners, you can learn more about Judith on her website or contact her by email. You can look for her on eaglelife.com, yourpsychicsoul.com, or email her at judith@awakenedmind.org. That's J-U-D-I-T-H at awakenedmind.org. Thank you so much, Judith.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak with you with your excellent questions, talking about the things that I love
yes,
the most.
Yes, Judith,
I'm very
I
grateful.
I have to tell you, I am kind of in awe because, you know, having done biofeedback and neurofeedback, your approach is breathtaking, to say the least. And what I want to do, I want to give you this high compliment that I don't know if you've thought about, that your approach to biofeedback is really groundbreaking, because you describe biofeedback as meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that on your website, what it made me think of, especially when you mentioned it in the context of it being like a spiritual quest, that there's a spiritual evolvement of consciousness involved in doing the biofeedback the way that that you teach it with the mind mirror, it made me think of what Joseph Campbell talks about when he discusses the hero's journey in terms of, you know, why we're here. Can you just briefly touch on why you say that biofeedback is meditation, that there is a spiritual component?
Well, essentially because we have this unique EEG machine that allows us to see where people are in consciousness in the moment. And for us, it's always a matter of making the match, helping people make the match between our objective measurements and their subjective experience. And so what we want their subjective experience to be is that of relaxing and deepening. And of course, we have meditation structures, ways to help them do that. So we'll say, you know, close your eyes, relax your tongue, deepen your breath. Allow yourself to create an environment, sensualize it using your senses, find a place to sit down inside that environment, and go deeper and deeper inside yourself. And we can see that happening. We can see them dropping in, see the pattern changing. But as for how, and so then they're able to landmark that pattern and remember what it feels like. So that's the biofeedback component, that they can find an anchor to that state. And so, you know, in neurofeedback, we'll call it self-regulate. And that's a fine descriptor, but it's not quite warm enough. So the landmark, the idea of the landmark, is maybe it's going to be a voice, a vision, a body sensation, or a concept that gives them the landmark. But the thing is, once they're there in the subconscious, in a meditation state, they are going to encounter the light of their spirit. There is no way around it, because that is the repository of the deeper core self, the true self, what Anna Wise called essential being. And people can start out saying, oh, well, I just want to develop, enhance my creativity and sharpen my mind into peak performance. But once you do that, you're going to say, well, as one guy did, the insurance broker from New Jersey, he went into a deep meditation and thought that he was going to find out how to work on a project, and suddenly a picture of his father showed up, and his father was had his arms wide and gave him a hug and said, "You have all the tools you need to resolve all of the questions that you have." And this was the most important experience for this man, because he had had this sense of a missing piece in his life all his life, because his father had had a stroke when he was 15 and had been sick and dying from that stroke by the time he was 18. And he had never apparently had, in a very wonderful family, that assurance. And that was the one missing piece he needed to pull his whole life together. And that was a spiritual experience. So this man is now much more attuned to the spiritual realm than he was before. And it's that way for everyone. Things just happen down there in that essential being. And it is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. You know, I was thinking, Bob and Christine, a little earlier, that if it's so easy if we just see life as a continuum. And on the left-hand side is the ordinary mind and how we function in external reality. And so you move a little bit to the right, and you start to move into your subconscious and then your unconscious awareness, and then this orchestration of your brain waves into this peak performance. And then you move still farther right, and that peak performance is going to take you to peak moments of experience, peak moments of illumination and flow. Those are going to evolve your mind until ultimately at the far right you're going to be in complete connection with your spirit and that circular evolved mind pattern. And at the same time, those gamma brain waves of the superconscious mind and universal consciousness. There's no way that in developing your consciousness you don't run into your spirit, because it's your spirit that's guiding you. It's who you are. Your deeper core self is your soul, and that is the template for your body and for your mind and for your heart. That's what's projecting it. And so when you come into who you truly are, you're coming into your spirit. So all journeys, all heroes' journeys are a journey into the spirit.
Wow, Judith. I just... here's my left brain, right brain answer to, or my reaction to what you just said. My left brain reaction is that what the mind mirror and your approach is able to do in a healthy way is to give people the experience of what Jill Taylor talked about in her book, My Stroke of Insight. Jill
yes.
Taylor is a Harvard-trained neuroscientist, a neuroanatomist who had a stroke, and her book tells about how she was able to be aware of the phenomena in her right hemisphere when her left hemisphere was shut down. And so that's my left brain analytical sense of what it is you said. And then from my right hemisphere, what I'm getting is that is as the mind mirror approach is as simple as you give people the ability to shift into whole brain synchrony and involve their consciousness effortlessly. And so that and very elegantly and very simply. And so I was thinking how the right brain approach has very few words or very few words, and the analogy is that when you were talking from my right brain side, I said, oh, I find Judith's voice very relaxing, and when she said relax your tongue, my tongue relaxed and I felt better. So I want to thank you. So Judith, what final thoughts or key idea would you like our audience to take away from today's broadcast?
Well, for one thing, that I have recorded 4 meditation CDs that are available through Edgar Cayce's ARE. They're called the Meditation Experience, Listening to Your Psychic Soul. My Psychic Soul book is there too. And the Psychic Soul book has got all these, everything. It's basically a book about intuition, but of course I filled it halfway with cutting-edge science on how to develop consciousness and brainwave patterns of meditation in these higher states, and lots of meditation instruction. But aside from that, the main thing is that anyone can evolve, awaken and evolve the mind into higher states of awareness, that we are unlimited beings. There is no limit to the mind's power and potential to move into the higher consciousness of the spirit and to serve self and others and the world, just as Edgar Cayce said, for the good of all. Nothing stops us. Nothing stands in our way. There is no obstruction. And that if we make that decision, hold that intention, everything in life will orchestrate itself to allow us to move into these higher states. And life is so much easier from them. No stumbling blocks, only stepping stones, as Cayce said. And I just invite everyone to mull that over and think about it, and hopefully come to awakenedmind.org, find a trainer in your area, or consider purchasing a mind mirror of your own. We have a comprehensive self-training program, and I work with people online and provide a really great comprehensive user manual. You can do it yourself in the comfort and privacy of your home. Nothing stands in the way. Just as the mind is wide open to itself and to everything, so is the spirit, and so it is.
Wow, Judith, I'm sold. I'm ready to sign up for your mind practitioner training. And as a start, I'll have to get your book. And, of course, I've read the blurbs and some of the reviews. And so I leave this talk feeling very excited. And I know our audience is excited by many of the things that you have said. And so I want to thank you for being our featured guest today, Judith. And I want to thank our audience for listening. Wherever you are, in whatever time zone you are in, we welcome and look forward to your comments about our show. Please contact us through our website with your feedback and suggestions. Remember, listeners, if you'd like to experience the same benefits our coaching clients get with us and learn how to get control of your schedule or easy ways to dissolve your chronic pain, stress, or anxiety, feel free to call us at 954-900-2179. Mention that you heard our Stress Free Now podcast show, and your first session is absolutely free. Call today to schedule your appointment. For Christine Wright, this is Dr. Robert Wright Jr. of www.stressfreenow.info. Until next time, be safe and be well.